We're all trying to get somewheres in our spiritual life. And some of us are standing behind closed doors with the Lord. Don't ask me why we're there, but we are. For a long time in my life, I tried to keep the Lord at a distance. Because at a distance, He didn't bother me. At a distance, He didn't touch my heart. And at a distance, there was a coldness there. And I didn't worry about it. Some people say, well, preacher, you've had this spirit all your life. I'm afraid I hadn't. I'd have to say it's the Lord's gift and not mine. I'd have to say it was His love that made a whole lot of difference in me when I needed a big difference in my life. I've got a grandson. His name is Brandon. He's similarly fighting a similar battle, and he needs a lot of prayer. The Lord told me the other day when I was praying for him, He says, "You will not do anything except you first love Him through me. Then you'll do something." I've been listening real strong to the Lord. Thank you. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You ever had somebody banging on your door? Oh, Lord, you remember? And I know reflection. I have these ladies that come to my house. They're from a church across the way. And they really think that I need spiritual help. Becky sees them coming, and she goes to the other end of the house and says, "You answer the door." I said, "But honey, they won't talk to you." She says, "Oh, no, they don't." She said, "It's your charming personality that keeps them coming back." But I've had the pleasure of delivering a few words to them, right straight out of the Word of God. And they've delivered a few to me. But in the process, I think the Lord's winning. Because each time they come back, they'll say, "Now, I don't know whether this will agree with you or not. But you know something? I think they're agreeing with me, and they don't even know it yet." We're all in a spiritual situation where we're trying very desperately to have more of Christ in our life and more of God in our life than anything else. And most people's lives today and their hearts are like a big old cluttered room. You ever been in anybody's cluttered room? I'm sure some of you know where they're at. A lot of them are garages. You can't even walk through without busting your head on something or tripping over something or falling into something. Some of our lives are that way. And some of our lives are so cluttered up with what we want in ourselves and our lives that we have put God somewhere else in our life. The Lord knows the only way into our life is through His Son, Jesus. He knows that. Because one time you see Jesus, it's easy the rest of the way. One time you see Jesus and you see Jesus in truth and love, this is the most beautiful thing in all the world. It don't take you long to get the door open when the Lord sends His Son a knocking. It don't take you long to get your life the way it ought to be when Jesus comes directly to your heart. I've prayed Him to a lot of people's hearts. I've prayed Him to a lot of people's lives. One man told me one time, he says, "Your prayers bother me." I said, "Why?" He said, "The Lord must be answering them, because I can't sit still in church, and I can't be still when you preach, and when they sing that hymn, I just can't sit still in the pew no more." I said, "That's not me." I said, "That's Jesus Christ the Lord, and He's knocking at your door of your heart, wanting in desperately." One Sunday morning, he stood in church, and he had a hold of the pew in front of him, and the whole pew was shaking. And he was standing there, and the Lord, by His grace, gave me enough mercy to give him an invitation. Well, he hung on that pew for a little longer and it about come up out of the floor. And when he did break loose from the pew, he come down almost in a run. He grabbed my hand and he said, "Preacher," he said, "you got me." I said, "No, Jerry, the Lord already had you back there before you ever got here. You want new people in your church. You want new faces to show up in the church. You need to pray for your pastor every day of your life and every moment in your life. You need to be asking God to give that man more grace and more love and more power in Christ so the world out here can see that man and see you as his children." I've been asking some of these people to pray me up in this revival. I can tell you right now, some of them have been not wasting their time doing exactly what I ask them to do. The Lord is desperately wanting to unclutter your mess. Somebody says, "What's wrong with me?" Well, you know you're going to have to make a list for yourself. Don't get to Sunday school on time. That's a bad one right there. And Lord really looked bad on us just a few minutes ago. Here's two preachers show up in the back of the church, and we're neither one. I'm outside trying to put this tie on, put this tie tack on, and try to get my jacket on and all that stuff, and some young lady's out there looking. Like, didn't he supposed to be in the church? I think one of the things that's really got the church in its grips is that we're too involved with all the things that are going on around us. I think it's time to give all that's going on in our life to God. I think it's time now to take all the clutter and lay it at the feet of Jesus and ask the Lord to just take care of it and start living the life that God wants us to live. Because you cannot live the life that you need to live with all the mess that's going on in the world that you allow into your life. Oh, I listened to some of your young people's music the other day, some of that rap stuff. I would almost say that's being spit out of a feller's mouth that I don't care too much about. Not the singers, but I really believe there's somebody else talking to them people. Because they're talking trash. And they're talking things that degrade women. They're talking things that degrade you. They're talking things that degrade God's morals. They're talking all kinds of things, and they're hurting and destroying your own life. Put them things in your ears. You can't hear nothing but what's going through them little buttons in your ears. You can't even think like you're supposed to think with the buttons in your ears. And when that music is cranked up in the car and the windows are rattling and all this stuff's going on and you're actually being, I call it, marinated. Except it's a juice of the world that you're being marinated in. Because we're mortal. And we are of the flesh. And these things come real easy to us if Christ is not in the center of our life. If you don't allow the Lord to become your Lord and Savior, he's really trying to get in. I seen a picture painted once. Lord standing there knocking on a door. The outside don't have no opening. He don't have no handle to get in. I saw a painting like this. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." There was no handle on his side. The only way he could get in is for you to take the handle on your side and let him in. Now, I really believe a lot of people are afraid of really being Christians. I really believe that people are really afraid to really stand up and be a real, true, God-fearing, Jesus-loving, hymn-singing Christian. I think we're afraid of what they'll do to us out there. I've got news for you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're not going to love you, kiss you all over your face out there. And he says, if they're planning to kill me, they will likewise destroy you. Somebody says, I don't want to be a martyr. I don't want to either. But if it takes being one, I think I can try it on myself. I get a real bang out of reading the Hebrew children. I get a real bang out of it because them good old boys really stood there in front of the man who had their life in his hands. Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not bow ourselves to your idol made of gold. And whether God allows us to be saved or we are taken out of this, we still won't bow our knees. Then I love the surprise. You know, everything has a surprise in it. You know, Cracker Jacks and all that stuff have surprises. Nebuchadnezzar reached up over and started looking down in that big fiery hole, and he says, I see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. What kind of people are we? Are we walking in love? Are we walking in the Spirit? Are we doing all the things God would have us to do? Are we just letting the clutter of the world build up in our lives and we're leaving no room for God? No room for His love, no room for His Son, no room for the hope of the kingdom of God, no room for anything. What are we doing? David prayed a prayer. He said, Lord, he said, search me and try me and see if there be any evil ways within me. How many of you prayed that prayer before? You can raise your hand. I won't. There you go. It's a good prayer to pray. Because the Lord, if He knows the hair on your head, and He knows the tears that fall from your eyes, and He knows every little bird that hits the ground when they die, and He knows all this stuff, don't you think He knows what's going on in your heart? The next problem I think we have with a lot of people in the Christian church today is they don't hear well. Now, I'm getting older. Not because I want to. It's a have-to case. I can't control it. I don't know why. I get these things in the mail. In the last 2 or 3 months, I've been getting one for hearing aids. Now, Becky says that my favorite word is, huh? But you know something, gentlemen? I'd rather for her to say it right and me hear it right and her say it once and me get it wrong, and that's the bad part of it. He says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, do you hear the Lord? Can you hear the Lord? Or is your ears and things stopped up with things that are this life? He won't come in there and scream and yell. And he won't beat on your heart's door like somebody that's gone plumb off the deep end. I had a young woman come to my door when I was in Lawrenceville pastoring up there. And she scared me to death because she was beating the door loose. Come to find out she had a very abusive husband next door that had beaten her very severely. And she came to be rescued. She came partially clothed. She came with blood dripping down the side of her head. She came with a bruise bigger than my hand on one side of her face. And she came to the door and she says, "Preacher," she says, "I didn't have no place to go. Will you let me in?" Didn't take my wife long enough to find her something to put on. And we got her in the house. I called my deputy sheriff buddy. And before I could turn around two or three times, I had a yard full of policemen, which immediately took care of the problem, secured two children, and arrested a very abusive husband. She needed somebody to hear her. And she sat on my steps and she cried and she says, "Can you just spare a few minutes with me?" She says, "I want somebody just to spare a few minutes with me." And she had to get all this off of her chest. And she had to tell me of all that she had went through for the sake of herself and the sake of her children. Can you hear the voice of the Lord telling you that the fields are white with harvest and the laborers are few? Can you hear Him telling you that they are dying even as I speak to hear the wonderful words of Jesus and the kingdom of God? Can you hear it? Brother Jim's heard them. He's heard them. He said, "What? If any man will hear my voice and open the door." You know, the Lord can't do anything outside. He does His greatest work inside. He can't get in until you make up your mind that you want Him in. And as long as you don't want Him in, He's not coming in. And young person, you need to wake up, and you need to wake up now. You need to wake up right now and give your total heart and life to Jesus Christ. Because if you play in the world, you are going to lose the game. If you play with the sins and the cares of this life and all the things that are going on out there and all the things that are happening at your school and all the things that are happening in your friends and your and that, what's that called, MySpace? He said, "If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." The Lord can't stand a crowd in your heart. It's either Him, Him alone. When that Bible says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind," there's no more room for nothing else. And when Christ Jesus comes into your life, there is no room for nothing else except Him. A lot of you are giving Him the heave-ho in your life. You've let Him in just enough, and then now, for some reason, the things of this life and the cares of this life are getting more important, and you're pushing Him out. My Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world. For he that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him." My Bible also tells me you cannot serve two masters, for you either will love the one and hate the other, or you will hate the other one and love the other one. Where's your love at? You can say you love the Lord, but you won't give a dime to church. You say you love the Lord, but you won't give any of your time to anything that's going on in the church. Do you think that man's supposed to do all the work? Or that other man over there supposed to help him do all the work? Do you think that for real? Do you think Wally back there is supposed to do all the work? I don't think so. Wally's whispering something like he's not getting paid for doing all the work. I'm just teasing Wally. "I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." He wants to come in and have a nice, good sit-down with you. Now, one of the things that my mama called was supper time, and you better be there, or everything from your back of your little kneecaps to the very upper part of your most beautiful part of your anatomy back there would suffer severely. And when you got to the table, you didn't come in there to laugh or carry on or something. You come in there to sit down at your plate, very reverently, bow your head, and give thanks for what God was going to give you. And then while you were eating it, you didn't have a whole lot to say then either. Have you ever been with two girls? I had two sisters. You ever been with two girls at the table when everybody's supposed to be quiet? Don't never plan on it. And especially when they gang up on you and they start laughing and they point their finger at you and they're telling mama, you did it. You're the one that done it. Can't count the times I had to get up, go right around the table and face that big old wooden spoon right quick. And then get back to trying to eat again. He wants to come into your life, sit down with you, and he wants to work through all these things that are going on in your life so your life can come to him completely. He's wanting you to really give up what's going on around you. He wants you to give up the thing that you love. I'm afraid today that we sometimes love more things than we do the Lord. He is wanting us desperately to have that divine nearness. That divine nearness to Him. To really be wrapped up all about Jesus. I think the Apostle Paul was all wrapped up about Jesus, don't you? I think he was. I love his thing when he says, I'm crucified, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ liveth within me. You know what Paul did on the road to Damascus? That hard-hearted, little bone-headed Jew that had caused so many problems and so many difficulties and had just stood there while they put Stephen's to death, had witnessed Stephen dying, met Jesus Christ in the way. You know what my prayer is that you'll meet him in this church house, right smack dab in the middle of this church house, and you meet the only one, the most gracious one, who gave his own precious life for you and for me, and not for me only, Paul says, but for the sins of the whole world. Without Christ in your heart, the next verse can't happen. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. You can't make it in the world without Christ. You can't make it in schools today. You can't make it at your job today. You can't even make it in some of the families today without having Jesus Christ totally at the center of your life. He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. What's he telling you? I made it. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And if he knows how to overcome the world, if you let him in your life, won't he help you to overcome the world? The scary thing is today, it's written in the writings of the epistles, it says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? When the Lord and I started talking about these meetings, and I prayed hard, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? I opened my Bible, and he says, James, he says, to the heart. To the heart. Don't talk to the head, James. Use my word. Talk to the heart. You know what I prayed to that prayer? I said, Lord, every message that you give me to speak, I said, let it stay in their hearts. So if you wake up about 12 midnight sometime and you hear a little voice, it sounds like it's from somewhere in North Carolina, and it's just saying all kinds of funny stuff and won't let you go to sleep, just remember, I prayed you that way. He said, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Don't you want to be near him when he sits beside his Father in all the glory in New Jerusalem? Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to just hear him say, John, well done, my good and faithful servant. Wouldn't that feel good, John? Yes, it would. Wouldn't it feel good of him to say, Bonnie, well done, my good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now I will make thee a ruler over many things. Somebody says, you're just talking a dream. No, I'm talking reality. Because I believe this old mortal dying creature you're looking at and those mortal dying hands that I'll shake in a few minutes are going to be the same hands that God's going to make immortal. And those beautiful smiles that you smile at me and those times when you tell me wonderful and warm things, they'll be the same smiles and the same faces and the same voices that I'll have the greatest pleasure in the world of walking with you in white in my Father's kingdom. I want you to be there. I want you to be there in my Father's throne room. I want you to be there when I stand beside him and make an introduction to my Father in heaven of who you are. I want you to be there. Don't you feel him just loving you so good? Don't you just feel him? Don't you just feel his hands just going all around you and just pulling you right where you want to be all the time? Somebody asked me not too long ago, Preacher, you're getting awful old. Are you afraid of dying? That's not a good thing to ask, Preacher. Because see, I want to tell you something. I want to live to be 100 years old. Somebody says, that's an awful big dream. I told my doctor and he looked at me and he says, okay. There's a whole lot of stuff going to have to be changed between now and your 100th birthday. One thing is, you have got too much front end and it don't match your back end. He says, that's got to go. He says, your sugar needs to go down. Your cholesterol needs to go down. And he says, I'll do all I can if I'm around to help you get to 100. But I'm not set on getting to 100. Because I don't know where the Lord will allow me to lay down and go to sleep to await his glorious resurrection from the dead. I don't know. But the one thing I want to lay down with is that hope of seeing Jesus come with the clouds of heaven and hear his voice and be raised up in his likeness to live with him forever. 100's not important. What's important is whether you have that same kind of thing going on between you and God. That same thing of you really want to live every moment of every day of every part of your life with a consecrated, dedicated feeling of letting Christ rule over your life. People are not complete. People come to me all the time, "Preacher, there's something wrong with me." I have a young man in my church, he wants to do a whole lot for God, but he can't get himself straightened out long enough to live for God. He wants to be this kind of person and that kind of person. He wants to be a leader in the church. He wants to do this thing and that thing. But he can't live long enough for the Lord or stay on the pathway of righteousness long enough to where he can really live for the Lord. And he will not. This is a fact. And he's somebody I love and I pray for before my eyes close every night. He will not allow Christ, Jesus the Lord, to rule in his heart. And he grieves me to tears because he won't allow Christ to be his Savior. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, if my words are just only my words, you'll only hear them just a little bit. But if they're the very words of God, they'll stick with you. They'll stay with you. And if God really wants to deal with your life, you'll hear them again and again and again and again. And if he's trying to get you to open your heart to his Son, you'll hear him a long time. My Father is doing his best. Your Father is doing his best to love you right into his new Jerusalem, into his kingdom and glory under the whole heavens. He's trying real hard to do that. He's wanting you to stop just a few moments to consider what's happening in your life. At 17 years old, I didn't feel very important to anybody. In fact, I couldn't get my life straightened out long enough to even try to be what the Lord wanted me to be till one evening. In the quietness of the evening, I went to a nice quiet corner of my house and I got down on my knees and I said, "Lord, please hear my prayer." I said, "I want you to take this life for the rest of this life to be your life. And Lord, I want to give it to you right now." Somebody asked me, "What school of learning did you go to be a preacher?" I'll tell you where I came from. I didn't go to no school. I'm sorry to say it. But the thing I did go to is I went to my greatest teacher in the whole world. And his name was Jesus Christ. When I came here the other day, I told you I didn't come with enticing words of men's wisdom. I don't have them. I told you about my beloved friend Joe Carswell, who was an English teacher in one of the high schools, whom I had the privilege to baptize. He said, "Son, you slay the king's English, something fierce." Let me tell you something. I speak my King's English, and I speak it straight out of his word. And I will continue to speak my King's English until the last day when I can speak no more. Do you want to hear God? Do you want God to really start talking to you? Do you really want Him to really start speaking to your heart? Then I've got something that you've got to do, and you've got to do it quickly. You have got to take all the rubbish out of your life and open the door to Jesus Christ and become a Christian. The word Christian means Christ-like. I've got news for you. Until you do that, your life will be cluttered and messed up and totally involved in the world, and there will be no Christ in your life. It's really sad when you work with people. When you pray with all your heart and you watch people just go away and you don't understand it. The Lord told me something the other day. He says, don't you try to correct them. He said, you love them. Let me do the correcting. I have not tried to correct them. I just love them. I just pray, Lord, help me love them more and help me help them more and help them know, Lord, with all that's within me, that the only thing I want to do is just love them through your Son, Jesus. That's all I want to do. Because the very minute you feel the love of Christ and you really let it hit your heart the way it should, you'll never, ever forget it. Never. Never. And what the world needs, what? The world needs Jesus. They need to know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you can say that and the love of God is in here, it'll come out just the way it ought to. I don't have all the answers for all of you, but I can sure get you to a fella fast that's got all the answers. And he can help you sort through anything in your life. And he'll forgive every one of your sins. And he'll make you whiter than snow. And then he'll love you so much. My dear mama, I think about her often. When I'd start to leave, she said, don't you ever leave this house. Don't you ever go towards that door until you hug me. And let me love you one more time. Won't you let the Lord love you just one more time? Won't you let Him right now just love you one more time? Won't you, for His sake and most of all for your sake, let Him love you just one more time? The Lord's trying to get inside of some of you, even as I speak, because I know He is. I know He is. And you've got such a mess of clutter, He can barely get the door cracked open. But you're going to have to open the door, He says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What does it say? If any man will hear my voice, and what's the next thing? Open the door. I will come to him. You got to get to the door and kick the clutter out of the way. Get some of the mess out of there so the door can swing open. Because when you do that, and he steps inside, you'll be amazed what he does with clutter and sin. You'll be amazed what he does with you. He will take you from a world of darkness into a world of light. And for the first real time in your life, you will feel a love that surpasses all. tell you about me in these sermons I preach. I'll tell them to you right quick. You ever heard that old cliche about chewing the fat? Have you ever done that before? Get a good old piece of fat back and chew that stuff just like it's chewing gum. Oh, yeah. Called chewing the fat. My doctor says, you chew another piece of fat back, and he says, you won't get to chew anything. What I'm talking about is that you yourself are going to have to make the decision. And you're going to have to make it. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. You can pack it in and run for the door as fast as you can. But let me let you on another little secret before you get outside. When this is all said and done, guess who you get to go face to face with in the end of it all? Guess who's going to be sitting in judgment? And you will have to look him face to face in that day. And all it takes is today is to let him love you now and let him take your sins away and make you whiter than snow and make you his. If that sounds so simple, it is. The difficult part is you got to open the door, and for heaven's sakes, don't slam it. May the Lord that's kind and loving, and may the one who gives you life every moment of your living life, and may the one who loves you and loves you always until eternity, may he come to you now, and may he give you no peace till you know him. In Jesus' name.